to me, Tommy, how could he be in a worse state? You tell us that he was blind from birth. Yes, that's right. You tell us he never saw his mum or dad's face. Yes, that's right. You tell us he couldn't see the beauty of Jericho, those beautiful palm trees. He couldn't see the sun. He couldn't see the moon. He couldn't play with the other boys and girls. He couldn't work. He had to sit beside the highway begging. He was smelling and he had rags. How could he be in a worse state than this? My friend, he was blind physically, but he was also blind spiritually. He was blind physically, but he was also blind spiritually. You know, he didn't want to have his eyes open spiritually. All he wanted to have was his eyes open physically. And you know, sadly, across the world tonight and across our land tonight, men and women and boys and girls, they're blind spiritually. And who has them blind spiritually? Well, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4, "And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Who is the God of this world? The God of this world is the devil. And the devil had this man's eyes blinded physically and spiritually. Oh, friend, tonight I wander in this meeting without Christ. You say to me, Tommy, there's nothing wrong with my eyes physically. I don't have to wear these glasses that you have to wear. But friend, maybe your eyes are blinded spiritually. The devil has your eyes blinded to the gospel. You don't know that the condition that you're in. You know, it's the devil has people's eyes blinded spiritually. Why has he got their eyes blinded spiritually? Well, the answer is in John 8. The Lord says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You know, men would rather have darkness and light. Men would rather walk in their sins. Men and women would rather stay in their sins rather than have the light of the gospel shine in. Oh, this man was in an awful state. Yes, he was blind physically. But you know, friend, he was blinded spiritually. But there's something else about him. He was in danger. He was in danger. Jesus is passing by. And Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And he and his disciples are rushing through the Jericho to get to Jerusalem. He heard the cry from the people, "Jesus is coming." He could not see if the Lord was near or far off. He was blind and could not see the danger of missing the Savior. His chance of being healed could have been gone forever if he did not meet the Lord Jesus. He had heard about this man, the Lord Jesus. He had heard about how the dead were raised from the dead. He had heard how the leper was healed. He had heard how the blind, other blind, were able to see. He heard how the dead were raised by this man. But you know, he was in danger of missing the Savior. And friend, tonight, you are in danger of missing the Savior. If you reject him, you are in danger. The Lord is passing by. There's a hymn that says, "Jesus is passing this way, is passing this way today." You know, the Bible tells me in Genesis, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you tonight and showing you that you're not saved, that you need the Savior, my friend, I would ask you to hasten to the Savior, because "my spirit shall not always strive with man." We read in Job 36:18, "Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee." This man was in danger of missing the Savior. I lifted a little track the other day, and it told the story of two sailors in the days of the great sailing ships. One of them was an atheist and the other one was a Christian. And the Christian would witness to the atheist And of course, the atheist would say, I don't believe in a God. There is no God. I don't tell me any more about your God. I don't believe in him. One day, the two of them were up in the riggings, and it was coming near dark, and they were bringing up the sails to tie the sails up high in the riggings. And all of a sudden, the ship hit a wave, and the atheist lost his balance, and he fell overboard. Of course, the Christian called down, man overboard. And you know, in those days, it wasn't just switch the engine off to stop the ship. They had an awful job of stopping the ship. By then, the darkness had fallen. The captain said to the mate, we'll launch the longboat. And they took a candle and a little lantern. And he said, go and look. He says, but I don't think you'll find this man. They started to row around the boat. They called out the man's name, and after a while they gave up. And as they were rowing back again, they gave one more call. And they heard a voice shouting, and they looked and they saw the sailor. They got the atheist and pulled him into the boat and brought him up to the big boat. By this time his friend had come down from the riggings. His friend was in his hammock down below. And he walked in and he said, am I glad to see you? What happened? And he said, you saw what happened. I lost my balance and I fell into the water. And he said, what happened? He says, as I was in the water, I saw the ship sailing away. And he said, I cried to God. And his friend, the Christian, said, you what? He said, I cried to God. He says, sure, you don't believe in God. He says, when you see a ship sailing away and your life is in danger, he says, then you cry to God. And he said, I cried to God, and I said, if there is a God, God, save me and get me back onto this ship and I'll live for you. And that man did live for the Lord. Him and his friend, the Christian friend, were two of the greatest workers in those big ships, witnessing for the Savior. Oh, friend, he was in danger. And he realized that the ship was sailing away. And he realized that he was going to be lost. And he realized the only one that could help him, the only one that could save him, was God. And he cried unto God. My friend, when you're in danger of dying, the atheist who's dying, there was an atheist dying one day. And their friend said to him, hold on, hold on. And he cried out in agony, what have I got to hang on to? I don't believe in God. What have I to hang on to? Friend, you're in danger of missing the Savior. Oh, I plead with you tonight. This wee man was in danger of missing the Savior. But praise God, he realized he was in danger. And sadly, across our land tonight in gospel meetings, people don't realize that they are in danger of missing the Savior. And maybe you're sitting in this meeting tonight and you're saying, Tommy, I can meet him some other time. Friend, the Bible says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You know, you're in danger of missing the Savior. But praise God, this wee man realized he was in danger. But there was one other thing he had to do. He had a decision to make. Bartimaeus had a decision to make. In verse 48, he was crying unto the Lord, and he cried for mercy. When he realized the Savior was near, the only thing that he could do is cry unto the Lord. Note, his cry was a prayer, and his prayer was a cry. It was a short prayer. He didn't use the book of prayers because he couldn't see. He couldn't read the book of prayers. He cried unto the Lord for mercy. But notice what happened. He got discouraged. You know, when he was crying, thy son of David, we read in verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. The crowd said to him, shut up. Don't bother the Savior. He doesn't want to hear a smelly old beggar like you. Just keep quiet, Nicodemus. Don't bother the Savior. Just keep quiet. He had a decision to make, friend. Am I going to listen to the crowd? Or am I going to call to the Savior for mercy? And he had a decision to make. You have a decision to make in this house of God tonight, sinner friend. Am I going to call to the Lord Jesus for salvation? Or am I going to listen to the crowd? Maybe there's someone that's keeping you from the Savior. You're worried about getting saved, that people would laugh at you and people would mock you. I was an apprentice electrician when I got saved. And I remember going to the building site. And of course it got round that Tom Gilmore had become a Christian. And in those days you used to call the wire for wiring lights. It was 3029. And above my where I sat, they put down, "We're going to sing hymn 3029. They thought it was funny. And to wire the plugs, it used to be 7029. And they had another notice saying, "We're going to sing hymn 7029. And they all thought this was funny. But you know, when they saw that my salvation was genuine, when they saw that my salvation lasted, they soon respected me. And I remember some of those men, and they would let out a swear word, and they wouldn't have cared before. But they said, "Tom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." They respected me. Oh, friend, tonight, don't let anyone keep you away from the Savior. He had a decision to make. He had a decision, should I heed them or should I cry the more? It's now or never. And you have a decision to make tonight. Or, my friend, come to the Savior. There was a young man, and he had got himself into trouble. And he was going to court the next day, a young man round about 18 years of age. And what, the day before he was going to court, he was riding his bicycle down the main street. It was a street where there were tram lines, and he got his bike caught in the tram lines. But he didn't realize that a tram was coming very quickly. And this well-dressed man spotted the danger that he was in. And the well-dressed man grabbed him and pulled him to safety. Of course, the tram wrecked his bike. That young man went to court the next day. As I said, he had been in trouble. And as he was sitting there, he was found guilty. And the judge looked down at him and he said, "Young man, I now have to sentence you." And he said, "Young man, do you know me?" The young man looked at him and he said, "Sir, I never saw you before." He said, "Were you riding a bicycle along the main street yesterday and a gentleman pulled you and saved your life?" He said, "Yes, sir. That happened and my bicycle was wrecked." The judge said, "I was that man." He said, "Young man, yesterday I was your Savior, but young man, today I'm your judge. I have to judge you." And you know, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ would say to you tonight, "Tonight I can be your Savior, but if you reject me again, I can be your judge." And that judge had to send that young man down into prison. And you know, my friend, we read in Revelation about the great white throne judgment. And who are these people at this great white throne judgment? They are men and women who have rejected God's way of salvation, have walked out of gospel meetings year, week after week, have rejected the Savior, haven't had their sins dealt with under the blood, and are being brought to that great white throne judgment for their sins to be dealt with. And what an awful day it is, you know, for a sinner standing in that great white throne judgment, and all the sins are brought out. And then to hear from the Savior, "Depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you." You know, as I go around our churches, as I go around these little mission halls preaching and singing, I often say to myself, "Tommy, am I looking into the face of someone who'll be standing in that great white throne judgment? Someone who would had the opportunity of coming to the Savior." You say to me, "Can I escape the great white?" Yes, you can. If you come and trust Christ as your Savior, have your sins dealt with under the blood, you'll not be at that great white throne judgment. But friend, if you reject him and you die in your sins, you'll be there. And you'll hear that, "Depart from me, ye cursed." Oh friend, this wee man had a decision to make. Am I going to listen to the crowd, or am I going to call to the Saviour? But you know, something happened. He got deliverance. Notice in verse 52, it wasn't the church he called to. It wasn't some religious organization he called to. He cried unto the Lord Jesus for mercy. "Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy upon me." He was in a miserable state. Praise God, misery is the object of mercy. His own miserable case he brings to the Son of God. And notice the graciousness of the Saviour. He cried out, "Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy upon me." And what does verse 49 say? "And Jesus stood still." Now Jesus and the disciples were rushing, and there was thousands of people round about there. But when the sinner cried for mercy, the Lord Jesus Christ heard him and he stopped still. When the person cries for mercy, tonight in heaven, friend, if you call for mercy, the Lord Jesus listens and he says, "There's somebody in Armagh Church wants to get saved." And he'll listen to your cry. Oh, I want you to notice something. There's something wonderful here about this wee man. I remember when I went to Sunday school, my Sunday school teacher told me I was the last one in the class, all the other boys had got saved. And he said to me, "Tommy, if you leave the Sunday school now without Christ, you'll be one missing from our Sunday school." And I said, "Mr. Stewart, I'm as good as any of you. You know, I've gone to boys' brigade Bible class. I've gone to Sunday school. I've gone to children's meetings. I'll get saved sometime. Whenever I want to get saved, I'll get saved." I said, "I am as good as any of you." And you know, that old man of God turned me to God's word. And he turned me to that passage where it says, "All my righteousness are like filthy rags in the sight of a just God. All my righteousness are like filthiness in the sight of a just God." And notice what this wee man done. Verse 50. "And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus." My friend, that's a perfect picture of the sinner. He throws off the old rags of sin and he puts on the garment that Christ gives him. And this wee man was coming to the Saviour. He didn't listen to the crowd. He listened to the Saviour. You know, Christ will save those in a miserable state. The filthy rags of sin was cast away. He needed to cry for mercy. And Christ, only one who could deliver him. He was delivered that day. You know, man and woman lost in sin needs a way. Jesus Christ says, "I am the way." Man and woman lost in sin needs the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the truth." Man and women lost in sin needs life. He says, "I am the life." You know, many of the things that keeps people from the Saviour is pride. It was pride in my life that was keeping me from the Saviour. I thought I was as good as anybody. But thank God for a faithful Sunday school teacher that showed me that all my righteousness were like filthy rags. Oh friend, will pride damn you in a lost sinner's hell? You know, there was a little maid called Molly. And she worked in this great house in the centre of London. And Molly would steal things in that house. And she had an awful testimony. But she heard about this man Spurgeon. And she went one Sunday to hear the Reverend Spurgeon preach. And at the end of the meeting, Spurgeon said, "Anyone who wants to speak to me, I'll be in my study." Molly came into him. And she said, "Sir, I need to be saved." And you know, Spurgeon led Molly to the Saviour. Molly went back to work, and during that time, her employers, who was a very well-known lady in London, she saw what a change in Molly's life. What a change. And she says, I need to find out how Molly's life was changed. She came along and she sat at the back in Spurgeon's meeting. Again, Spurgeon said, I'll be in my place. And at the end of the meeting, she walked through the door. And Spurgeon recognized her immediately. And he said, Lady so-and-so, if I had knew you were in the meeting, I would have given you a welcome. She told the story. She said, my maid, Molly, would steal things in the house. But she's come to your meeting and she told us about getting something called being saved. And what a change there is in her life. Can that happen to me, Mr. Spurgeon? And Spurgeon said, yes, dear, it can happen to you. But then she looked at Spurgeon and she said, do I have to come Molly's way? And Spurgeon said, dear, we all have to come that way. That lady jumped to her feet. And she said, if I have to come my maid's way, I'll not come at all. And she walked out the door. It was pride in her life that kept her away from the Saviour. Oh, friend, tonight, you can get deliverance just like this wee man if you call upon the Lord. But you know, finally, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus, and as a young Christian, I used to wonder, why did the Lord ask this question? And Jesus said, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And I used to say, Lord, sure he wanted a sight. But the reason he done that was to try his faith. And what did the Saviour say? Verse 52, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And immediately he received the sight. You know, there's a wee lesson here for you, believer. Do you remember I said this young man was blind from birth? He never saw anybody's face before. Who was the first face he saw when his eyes were open? It was the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, if you and I die in years and days to come, and we open our eyes, the first face we'll see is the face of our blessed Lord Jesus. You know, Bartimaeus was poor, but he did not plead for wealth. There is something Christ can give us that is more precious than silver and gold. This is eyes to see the Lord himself as our own and personal Savior. This is what the blind man saw when his eyes were opened. He saw the blessed Lord Jesus who saved his soul. That day, that wee man got his eyes open physically, but he also got his eyes open spiritually. What about you tonight? Will you have your eyes open spiritually? Just in closing, there was a preacher called Dr. Milan from Geneva. And he was staying in a house in London with a friend. He was preaching in a series of meetings in London. And his friend's older daughter was in the parlour one day. And he said to the girl, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus? That girl took real exception to it. And she said, that's a very personal matter. And she walked out of the room. But you know, all week that troubled her. Have you got a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus? On the Friday, she came in and Dr. Milan was sitting there. And she said, sir, I must apologize. I was so abrupt with you the other day. And yes, I do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. I would love to, but I have no idea of coming to Christ. Dr. Milan said there, dear, just come as you are. Just come as you are. And he told her how to come. That girl, Charlotte, went up to her bedroom, got down on her knees, and she just came as she was. She said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood. And the Lord saved her. Sometime later, she wrote that beautiful hymn that most people use at gospel meetings. just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thy bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. That woman was Charlotte Elliot, and she wrote that beautiful hymn. O friend, tonight, just come as you are. Come like this man, Bartimaeus. You know, I'm looking forward to meeting this man, Bartimaeus. I'll be able to tell him that I told a story in Armagh. You know, we are going to meet these people in heaven, and we're going to be able to speak to them. You know, I'm looking forward to meeting the Saviour. Yes, I am. I'm looking forward to meeting my dear wife. But, you know, one other person that I'm looking forward to meet is a dying thief. He was the only one, that stood up for Christ at Calvary. We're going to be able to speak to these people. We're able to talk to these men through the ages and hear the stories. Will you be there? Will you be in heaven? Will I meet you on that golden shore? Oh, friend, you'll not be there if you don't trust Christ as your Saviour. I pray tonight, like this man Bartimaeus, that you'll get your eyes open spiritually and you'll trust Christ as your Saviour. We're going to close our meeting tonight.